attuning to impermanence. Again, as in this, in I'd say many of the practices connected with insight practice, we don't actually go looking for impermanence. It can be something that we kind of attune to from time to time, but it's more something that is revealed as we practice. And yet we can kind of incline with reflection to be curious about impermanence. And I'll talk about that more in a moment, because that feels very relevant for our exploration in our daily lives. But the value of seeing impermanence and when mindfulness and wisdom are kind of have the momentum, they can open us to the experience of impermanence. But that experience itself then kind of informs wisdom about something more fundamental, which is it's not helpful to try to cling to something that's changing, that leads to suffering. And so that is one way that wisdom manifests, in seeing the impermanent nature of experience at a deep level. Sometimes in our meditation, just seeing how rapidly things are changing, wisdom just gets it that this is not something that can be clung to, that it will cause suffering when clung to. And that the very nature of experience as impermanent means that there's nothing worth clinging to. And this is very freeing understanding. And yet the mind does kind of go through a process in relationship to seeing impermanence. It doesn't simply see impermanence and it's like our habits, our patterns. Wisdom is supporting us to help us to understand not to cling to impermanence, but our habits, our patterns, and our kind of beliefs around there must be something, there must be some place to learn, there must be something solid, stable somewhere. There must be something that I can rest on. Those perspectives don't loosen easily sometimes. And so part of the unfolding of our practice is to become aware of what our relationship is to seeing impermanence. I briefly mentioned in the guided meditation, sometimes it can be delightful to see impermanence. It's like we begin to see the facility of the mind to just know one thing after another. It's kind of amazing and delightful. And other times it feels like things are happening so fast that we can't kind of keep up with them, and it feels disturbing. It feels unsettling. So that kind of unsettledness is revealing a kind of a deeper clinging to the wish for things to be permanent, the wish for there to be some stability, And our path kind of deepens through that, more and more deeply revealing ways that we cling to these misperceptions. A misperception that things are permanent, a misperception that there's some place that things might be reliable, a misperception about there being an I, a me here. And as our mind begins to see that these are misperceptions, the phrase or the word that sometimes used there is that the seeing of the impermanent nature, the mind gets disenchanted with its misperceptions, gets disenchanted with those views and beliefs around there being something permanent, reliable, and so. And that disenchantment process is sometimes not so pleasant. We like our enchantments. We like our kind of way of thinking that we can be happy. And so there's a process and by which we begin to let go of those, the ways that the mind has been enchanted. And the mind kind of begins to attune more fully to what is true. And in that truth, having a sense of, it's like the refuge becomes the truth instead of something that's stable. The refuge becomes the truth that there's nothing stable. And the Buddha did encourage us to actively, consciously reflect on impermanence. There's a kind of a famous reflection, 5 subjects for frequent recollection. It's chanted in the Thai forest tradition. There's a beautiful English translation of the chant. I won't chant it, but I am of the nature to age. I have not gone beyond aging. I am of the nature to sicken. I have not gone beyond sickness. I am of the nature to die. I have not gone beyond dying. All that I have, beloved and pleasing, will become otherwise, will become separated from me. The 5th is a reflection on karma, on conditionality. I'm the owner of my karma. Whatever karma I shall do, and karma translates the word karma can be translated as action. I'm the owner of my actions. Whatever actions I shall do for good or for ill, of that I will be the heir. So 4 of those 5 subjects for frequent recollection are directly connected with impermanence. And the Buddha encourages us to bring these thoughts into mind with regularity. Yesterday in one of the groups, this power of the taking in impermanence at an ordinary level, not at the kind of dissolving experience in meditation level, but at the ordinary level, the level of family members being ill and aging. It's It comes into our heart. It touches the relational side of our practice. And when we can deeply take that in, it can be very transformative. We can use these reflections in a way, kind of like we use the metta reflections. The metta reflections, we start with self and then open to other beings, our dear friends, benefactors, loved ones, and neutral people, difficult people. And in that reflection, noticing how it lands to reflect that. And we do that with metta. We can do this with these reflections as well. Remembering that your friends, children, partners, all have this nature. To age, sicken, to die. And that everyone, neutral people, beings that we see, just all these beings, and this is really in it up, the changing nature is very up right now, and this truth of our own impermanence is it's on all of our minds. Especially those of us who are over 60, and if we get this virus, or maybe more likely when we get this virus, because we're all probably going to have to get it at some point. Just based on the way we're talking about, let's just slow down the rate of transmission so that the infections won't overwhelm the system, and yet this means many of us will die in the coming few years. This is true. It's always been true. It's kind of more present. And so this is a way in which the illusion of our continuity, of our, I'm going to die someday, but that's a long time away. But now it maybe feels more like, maybe it's a month away. Who knows? So it's more up for us, and this is a good thing that we hold this consciously, noticing your relationship to that. Noticing your relationship to that. How does it feel to know that? How does it feel to know that so many people in the coming months will die of this virus? The death rate much higher right now than usual. And so we can reflect in this way. And in this, using the reflective practice, like we do with metta. With metta we drop in the phrase, may I be happy, and we check in. How does it land? How do we feel about that? What is the effect that reflection has on the heart in the present moment? And so we blend the reflection with mindfulness and awareness. And likewise with these reflections. I'm of the nature to die. How does that land? What's the attitude? What's the relationship to that? There's probably more to reflect on with this, but it's time to stop. So we'll stop now. And I'll just remind those of you who are in the third group of this third small group, we'll be meeting in about half an hour. And see the rest of you this afternoon.